League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
My name is Su Wei Xie. This is Drop Shot.
Welcome to Drop Shot. We're live from the press conference room for the first presser of the day, which is with Yelena Ostapenko, who's just beaten Iga Świątek, who I spoke to yesterday. The PA system doesn't seem to be functioning too well again, and the mic used by the journalists to ask their questions is not working. Flat batteries, I think. Amateur. I've put in a request for a technician to come and fix it, but meanwhile, we are pressing ahead with the presser. Time waits for no sound man.
So what pleased you most about your performance today?
I think the way I was, I went on the court, I was very positive, and I just wanted to start the grass season in a good way, and I think I played pretty well today.
In a recent interview, you talked about the mental side of tennis and how your emotions can get in the way sometimes. Do you feel like you need to be relaxed to play at your best?
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you have too many thoughts in your mind, it's very tough to play your best, because those thoughts always distract you from something. And when your mind is free, it's much easier to play. And yeah, that's what was today. I was just...
Uh-oh. That does not sound good. That was painful.
Yes. I think it's one of the speakers, actually.
Yeah,
I think it's one of the speakers.
Yes,
speakers. Can we, if everybody just speaks really loud, can we keep the press conference on?
Okay, press mic not working, speakers about to explode, and no sound guy in sight. This is not going well. I rely on the sound system to work. How would I fix it? Probably by giving the speaker a good thump.
What's the, for you, what's the transition like from clay to grass? Because it's not... It's a quick turnaround. How do you find that transition?
I mean, it's completely different surfaces, and I don't have so much time. I just arrived on Friday, and unfortunately, my bags didn't arrive, so my rackets were in the bag, so I couldn't even hit on Saturday. So I basically had one day to hit before this tournament, because I was playing doubles on Monday. But I think for me, the less time I have, the better it is, because I'm more focused, and... I love to play on grass, and I also had good results on grass, and I think it fits my game pretty well. And on grass, I think the one who is playing more aggressive is gonna win probably.
Where did your bags go on holiday? Where did they end up?
They arrived, but they arrived like on Sunday around like midday or even later. I was like really stressed first time ever it happened to me that my bags didn't arrive. They just disappeared, and my hitting partner's bag didn't arrive yet. So they just got lost somewhere. But yeah, it's not fun that when you give the rackets and everything, you check in and you on a practice and you don't have your rackets, your clothes, nothing. It never ever happened to me before, so I was really stressed.
Do you think in a strange way it helped you with your match, because you were stressed about that, so you didn't have time to think about tennis?
I mean, thanks God it arrived, at least, because I thought if they lost it, then, I mean, it's tough for me to play the tournament because I don't have anything here. Like, I gave everything chicken, but I think it gave me less time, which is better for me, because when I have less time, I'm more focused.
You have Joe next, obviously. Your thoughts on playing her?
I think I played her a couple of times, and also last year in Eastbourne on grass. And I think we always had like three set matches. And I mean, she's a great player. She plays very well on grass, and she's in a good form now. But grass is one of my favorite surfaces, so I'm just going to try to enjoy it.
Do you ever find you struggle with the expectations that people have of you because you've won a Grand Slam, or is that something you've got used to now completely?
I mean, there was a lot of pressure before, and I think I got used to it already, and now I'm just trying to get my game back, because I was injured last season, so I couldn't really do the proper preseason, which didn't help me. And in the beginning of the season, I was struggling a lot because I didn't have enough time for practice. But now I'm trying to get back in form.
And how close do you feel to sort of your top form? How far away do you think that might be?
I mean, I think I'm getting better, and especially now on grass. Like today, I felt really good on court, and I felt that grass is something that I really love to play, the surface. And yeah, I think on grass I will get my form back.
Do your good memories of your run for the final here in 2016 help?
Yeah, actually, I think I remember I beat Petra Kvitova here and had some good matches and good memories from here, but I think that was the only year I was here, so it's great to be here again.
What's it like playing somebody younger than you today who's just starting out? I mean, does it seem like a long time ago from when you started out?
I mean, I actually knew that she's a good player, and I think she won Junior Wimbledon. So I knew she knows how to play on grass, and I expected a very tough match, so I prepared really well. And yeah, I think that helped me because I was playing very well today.
So what advice would you give to younger players like her just starting out? What have you learned on the way?
I mean, just try to enjoy it, because I think maybe that's her first year on tour. And I remember myself, it was very tough, because in juniors, some matches are like, if you start winning, girls are sometimes not fighting till the last point. But here, everybody is such a fighter and everybody wants to win. So if you want to like play in a woman in like WTA, you have to really be very consistent.
Any more questions?
Okay, one last question. How do you relax when you're away from the tennis court?
It depends. I just go maybe go out with my friends, or spend time with my family, or do ballroom dancing, and just maybe walk on the sea, or yeah, do some fun things.
And that's our time up with Ostapenko. She was good value even in the face of sound issues. I am assured that the PA will be fixed the next time I set foot in that room. Bit grumpy. Just been told that Su Wei Shea is on her way over to chat to me. She's somewhat unusual, as she has made a career out of successfully playing both singles and doubles. At the moment in singles, she's ranked 55 in the world, while she tops the doubles rankings with her partner Barbara Strichova. What did you have for breakfast today?
I have a croissant and Danish bread.
Breakfast is always an important part of the day, I think.
Yes, of course. I like to eat the breakfast and I like to have a big one. But unfortunately, today I wake up a little bit late, so I just eat small one.
So how was it for you today? Were you happy with the way it went? Because it must be difficult when you play in tournaments, when you're playing singles and doubles so early on. How do you work with that?
I don't think too much, and I try to play good for both, and of course a partner helping a lot, so I'm very happy I have a good partner.
How do you end up choosing doubles partners?
Me and Barbara, we was supposed to play with our regular partner, but somehow our partner entered the Indian Wells together. So we try to say, oh, we want to stay together. I stay with Monica and she stay with Andrea. And because they entered 2 weeks ago, so they couldn't put out. If they need to put out, someone need to do the walkover, like injury or whatever stuff. So they cannot play doubles. So we say, okay, you girls stay together, and then we switch back at Miami, and then I will play with Barbara. And we try to work this out until last 5 minutes, and then we say, okay, we stay like this. So this is the first partnership between me and Barbara, and we win a tournament. So it was amazing what we did, and we start to work this year because Andrea was pregnant. So
see, these are the problems that people don't sometimes think about.
Oh, there's a lot of things going on the women's tour, you know. they are very cute, and they have anything can happen in the women's tour. So I'm always try to just, okay, anything happen, I take it, no worry. And at least I play singles and doubles, and I try to, like last 2 years, I try to switch a partner all the time. It's quite fun for me too.
But then doesn't that get complicated, that sometimes you find you've got different partners that you think is more your favorite? And how do you choose if you keep getting a lot of different partners? It must be, I guess you have to play in a different way, but also you work as a team, as a friendship as well.
Oh, it's funny because some other girls are like, I never say hi, or they never say hi to me. We're not a friend, and we see each other. But you know, sometimes Asian girl is a little bit shy, so I always try to wait. And people, if they say hi to me, I say hi back. I'm a little bit like this. I'm not very, you know, trying to say hi all the time. But, you know, like Colleen, I was playing with her in Mallorca last year. It was first time we played together. And then after the doubles, we lost the first round. But after this tournament, we become friends. We say hi, we congratulations. So it was really amazing. Like, you meeting the girl after the doubles, it's so, so fun for me.
And I guess that's an interesting thing, because you always think about the tour that a lot of people just keep themselves to themselves, but doubles must give the opportunity for friendships.
Oh, it depends. You know, a different partner has a different style. Like me, sometimes it depends on my mood too. Like sometimes I try to stay focused on my part, and sometimes I try to help, and sometimes the partner need to help. So you always need to be flexible in any position. So it's very fun to play doubles, and it's more practice for me. You know, I can do a little bit more practice on my serve, my return, and some volleys, because you know, I'm not a net person when I play singles, so it's quite fun.
Does doubles help your singles play, would you say?
Sometimes can make you a little bit more tired, and sometimes it can help. But sometimes if you don't do it good, you don't have a good feeling, it can not helping a lot. So it can change all the time.
It's interesting, because I always see, sometimes you see in these the tournaments away from the slams, singles players going into doubles games, and I always wonder why. Is that just to get them used to the surface, or to get them used to volleying? Because that seems to be the thing that a lot of single players miss out on in singles.
The Grand Slam is special, you know, if you go there, you enjoy, and the court is amazing. Of course, we want to stay a little bit, for me, I want to stay a little bit longer there and to have some more fun in Paris, Melbourne, New York, Wimbledon. You know, all of these cities is amazing, beautiful, and with many, many good restaurants. So for me, personal, I like to stay as long as I can. But unfortunately, I don't play mixed double right now. Otherwise, I will try to play a little bit more to have more fun, because in mixed double, you don't have point and you don't have pressure. And the guy I was always play together, always so fun, you know, like Kevin Willier, Kravets, all the these players, they're really fun.
So you mentioned traveling to all these places. Is that something that you enjoy, seeing these places? Or are you one of these players who just stays in your room or stays in the lounge and doesn't go around? Do you like to see the place? Do you like to experience the places where you are?
Yes, I always try to find a restaurant and to enjoy some food. And I discover pretty much place. Like we went to Hyde Park to see the Queen's Swan. I heard the swan belonged to Queen, right? So I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. Because, you know, you will not see a swan or some animal belong the king or the president in Taiwan. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, and deer as well. In the parks, oh, all the deers are owned by the Queen.
Wow, thank you. I will go check out.
The best place if you're in London is Richmond Park.
Richmond Park?
Because you
can. Hyde Park?
No, none in Hyde Park. I think they're too dangerous.
You mean the animal or the people?
Oh, probably both.
Okay.
But yeah, no, if you get a chance, go through Richmond Park and you can see all these herds of deer, and they're fantastic. And this time of year, it's okay. They always warn you during the autumn period not to go near them because they're all starting to reproduce and things, and it can be a little dangerous. So they get protective.
Thank you for your advice. I will bring my tennis racket to protect myself.
That's sensible. You will be fine. I don't think you'll have a problem at all. But restaurants, what kind of food do you always look for? Do you look for Asian food, or do you like to explore other cuisines?
I normally like to try the local food to see which city, what kind of food. Like Japanese, you know that every city they have the seasonal food or the city food. So I like to always try the local food. And the Japanese one, like 7-Eleven or Family Mart, they have this oden. It was so good. And like in England, for sure, fish and chips and Indian food is very, very good here. So I try to eat as much as I can in Indian or the fish chips. And in London, you know, I quite like the strawberry and green and the lobster sandwich. What's the shop name? I just forgot the lobster sandwich, the shop.
Oh, you've got me there. I don't know.
I went every year, but I just forgot right now. But this sandwich is so amazing with the sauce they put inside. It's so good.
You're making me hungry now. But I also wanted to talk to you about the mentality, because I asked you yesterday, and I'd love to get the answer again today, of what it was like playing someone like Sabalenka, who is very demonstrative. She's down the other end of the court. And I think I asked you, what are you concentrating? Are you concentrating or trying to shut out your opponent and just concentrate on the ball? Or are you thinking about your own mind and how to deal with things?
You know, the first match is not always easy because you still try to find the rhythm. And of course, to play against Sabalenka in the first round on the grass court is tough because she's really powerful player and she's top 10. That means she have a very good result last 12 months. So only thing I can do, I just to play a few games and see how I feel and try to find the game of my hand, you know, to set out the point. So I'm doing pretty good. And sometimes, yes, I try to go to her bad shot and then she did kill me. So I will need to always try to find a way to get into the match. So it was very good to come back, especially, you know, the third set was really tough with three call was a little bit tricky.
If you're not careful, I guess these decisions can really affect you, and you have to think just in the present, don't you, for the point you're playing rather than the one before and the one after.
Sometimes like this, but you know, sometimes I don't really care. I just want to go on the court and enjoy the tennis. If I play bad, whatever, this is life, you know, you're not gonna have a good day every day, so I accept.
Do you think, because you've had injuries, haven't you, and so you understand what it's like not to be on the court, in a way, does having injuries help you go out and play tennis and still enjoy it?
When you have an injury, it's hard to be enjoyed, because like every day you don't know what's going to be happening. You're going to be feeling worse, or you're going to have an injury, the same spot again. Because when you injury, and then they can affect a different part of the muscle, because that means the other muscle need to work harder to help the spot where you injury. So it's quite dangerous. But because, you know, I have no choice. I was doing a lot of gym and training and try to recovery. But I was doing 1 or 2 months. It doesn't improve. It was not improving. So I decided to play some tournaments. And that time, it was almost a deadline of Australia Open. So I tried to pick up some point, and I pushed myself to the tournament. You know, sometimes you have no choice when you have a very limited help. So I'm glad that I'm not getting worse over the injury. Everything, I'm very lucky. And my team was, my brother, sister was helping me at that time. I was having no coach, no physio traveling. It was pretty tough, but I'm happy we made it.
And this must make you happy every time you go and step onto a court to just be able to play tennis, isn't it?
Yeah, now for me, I just want to play healthy and enjoy tennis. And if I'm not feeling good, I just say, haha, okay, I know. And I just go and have some fun and don't think in too much. If it's hurting, I go slowly a little bit, you know.
Okay, and lastly, do you think we're in a good moment for women's tennis with young players coming through? And who have you seen that has caught the eye?
Of course, we always love to see the young girl and pretty and they fresh out the tennis tour. And I do love to see them more because it's really fun and bring a lot of fun on the tour as well. You know, they are so excited, they're so happy, and every time they win, they're jumping, you know, like they're just little girl, and you see they're little girl. So I quite enjoy it. And I think it's amazing what they do. And they are hitting the ball really big, like the girl who played doubles with Wang Chang. Name is a little bit difficult for me. Sorry. So I... but, you know, it's a beautiful view of the women's tennis too.
Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you ever so much. And good luck for the rest of the week.
Thank you. See you.
Bye. It's Groundhog Day as Naomi Osaka is in the hot seat. And naturally, the first question is...
Naomi, how comfortable did you feel on the grass today?
I mean, I felt better than the two practice days. And I feel like every day that I play on grass, of course, I'm gonna like learn how to play better. But for now, I'm just really happy that I was able to win that match.
Was it psychologically challenging because of that unfamiliarity?
Of course, I don't really play that much on grass. So just for it to be the first round and to play such a tough opponent, and also, like, the first match on grass, I think it all kind of added up.
What did you find particularly difficult about her game?
I mean, she slices really well, and it's kind of hard to play against someone that slices well on grass because it stays really low, and she moves well, too. Yeah, like, adding that up, it's a really tough combination.
You said in your on-court interview that you felt you were screaming inside. Was it just a combination of everything that was frustrating, or?
Not really, because I feel like I should be able to adapt to things, and I think that I do. It just takes a longer time than what I want. So I feel like there's a process that needs to happen that I'm developing, but I would rather like come at a quicker rate.
You're going into your next game. What are the things that you will take out of today's game to go into the next game? Things that you're tweaking to make sure?
For me, I just want to have a high service percentage, first service, because I think on grass it's really important to hold your serve, and just try to be a bit more aggressive but controlled.
How important is it to you to get a good start to your grass court season?
I mean, it's really important for me. I'm only playing this tournament before I go to Wimbledon, so I would love to get a lot of matches in and sort of build my confidence up.
Although it might not feel that way at the moment, do you think that having a long, tough match first up might help you later in the tournament and at Wimbledon, just getting more practice on the court?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It might not feel like it right now, but I think in the long run, it helps me get adjusted to the court more, and gives me like a peace of mind knowing that I can play longer matches on this surface.
What is it specifically about grass that you find challenging, aside from your unfamiliarity with it? Is there anything technical or about the movement that you struggle with?
I mean, technically, you have to prepare faster because the court... like the bounce, you're not really that sure what you're going to get, so you kind of have to be on guard at all times.
How big an impact are your parents when you go out there on court?
Yeah, I mean, my parents are the reason why I started. My sister, actually, too. And for me, I try to live my life with the lessons that they taught me. And I feel like it's worked out so far. I hope that I can learn more things from them. And my dad, he's definitely one of the biggest role models I've ever had. And yeah, I feel like everyone's parents are sort of impacting their lives, so.
You're still only quite young. What do you like doing that other 21-year-olds do away from the court?
I don't know what other 21-year-olds do. I feel old.
Well, you're not as old as me. I'm 22. That's ancient.
You're so young. if I have time, I like to hang out with friends or friend. I don't know. I guess people do that, yeah.
Do you actually like and enjoy playing on grass? And if you don't, do you think it's a surface you might grow to love it in time?
For me, it's a bit odd because the time that I get most comfortable on it is during Wimbledon. So I feel like there's a repetition that needs to happen sooner for me that I would love to learn how to get more comfortable early. Of course it's a surface that I think suits my game, and I think that I have a lot of potential to play well here, so hopefully one day it'll click.
Are you still listening to J-Rock's Win when you go out on court? And if not, what's your pump-up tune you're listening to most at the moment?
No. Maybe I should. I don't know if that was like a secret formula, but I switched. I tend to switch songs a lot. So right now I'm currently looking for new music, but...
Denzel Curry's new album's very good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I like Speedboat.
Okay. Check the new album out. It's good.
There is a ranking issue that you could hold on to the number one this week. Is that something that matters to you, or is it just something that comes with the results you get?
For me, during the entire clay season, it kind of mattered. And I think it kind of showed because I was kind of stressed out the entire time. So for me now, I'm just kind of having fun. I'm enjoying it. And I know that if I play well, then I'll be number one, but you kind of have to deserve the spot that you're in. And if I lose in the first round, then I don't deserve to be number one, and that's sort of what comes with the territory. So I'm kind of chilling right now. Like, I'm not trying to keep that in my mind.
Because you said in Paris it was a bit of a weight off your shoulders when you had that Grand Slam run was interrupted. And you're still feeling a bit more relaxed?
Yeah, for me, it would have been awesome to have a calendar or to just even win the French because I've never won it. But I think there are things that I have to learn with age. and I think that's one of the things, like, you can't expect to, like, win everything, especially when you're playing against the best players in the world. And there's going to be days that are really tough, but, like, what is that saying? It's the rainbow after the storm. I don't know, but, it's always better after a hard time, so.
We've been hearing a lot about innovations in the sport, whether that's shorter sets or on-court coaching, and a lot of the rationale is because it brings in younger fans. As an actual young person yourself, do you think that would make you watch tennis more? Or the people you know who don't watch tennis, do you think shorter sets and on-court coaching would make them watch?
I don't know about shorter sets. I don't think the on-court coaching is bad because I think people want to know, what could be going on, because there's always during the NBA they have like a little coaches break sometimes, right? I don't know. I always think that's kind of interesting to like see what they're thinking about, but I'm not the one to be asking that.
I was on the court, so I couldn't hear. Was there anything interesting in your coaching meeting today you can tell us about?
Not really. Like, it was kind of professional, which was kind of odd for me, but nothing really interesting, no. You don't get tea.
Couple of questions. Were you able to enjoy any aspects of this afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I always have a lot of fun playing against tough opponents. Of course, it's stressful during, but there's always, like, flashes of thoughts for me that I always think, like, there's nothing else I'd rather be doing. And, you know, some people don't get to travel that much, and I get to travel just to play tennis, and for that I'm extremely grateful.
And are you relieved that you managed to get your game finished before the rain started falling?
Yeah, I felt very lucky. Like, the timing couldn't be more convenient. Cool.
Having gone through a spell of being stressed out about your ranking, do you now think that perhaps it's better to just focus on your matches, on your results, and let the ranking sort of, let that take care of itself if you play well?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I think that's sort of my mindset right now. I'm just trying to enjoy the ride and... yeah, like, take it one match at a time. Try not to think about the stats or anything like that, because I'm not necessarily a stat person. Arigato gozaimasu.
I always enjoy listening to Asaka. People say she's shy and she's reticent to talk, but I think she's thoughtful about what she wants to get across. I don't think she's anybody's fool. This has been a good day, albeit a bit frustrating, as a few of my requests lost their matches and I didn't get an opportunity to speak to them. Maybe this is something to learn from, and I should put more names on my request form. But what I got, I'm really pleased with. And I can't stop thinking of Su Wei Shay fending off deer with her tennis racket. It's been a glorious day of sunshine and tennis, and on my way out, I'm going to sneak a peek at the last game of the day, which sees Harriet Dart team up in doubles with Venus Williams. Well, I never. I'll report back to you on that tomorrow. You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series, and when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Rachinsky-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster, and Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.